to be believed. Beside him sat another human, one whose parents must have included an ogre, Braylon thought, given his great size and obvious strength. On the road beside that formidable pair rode the halfling, Regis, on a fat pinto pony. The troop bounced down the muddy road to the southwest, seeming a carefree bunch, though they were leaving the safety of 10 towns behind. Other caravans were forming in the towns, particularly the closest one, Bremen, on the southern bank of Mare de Walden. But those caravans would not leave without a full escort of at least 20 guards, Braylon had learned. Not at this time of year, when the roads were full of yetis and goblinkin and all sorts of beasts, ready to begin fattening up now that winter was at last letting go. Yet here they were, a group of only 5, depending on a slow-moving wagon, riding into the wilds seemingly without a care in the world. Watching them, Braylon Jankay hadn't a doubt in the world that they would get through the spine of the world safely. And Jarlaxle and Beniago would be waiting for them. He slid back from the ledge. Perhaps he could at last leave this forsaken place and deliver this last report in person. He'd shadow the group to their first camp, then go past them in the dark of night, and perhaps even get in close to the camp to see if he might find a bauble or two of his own. With a wicked smile on his face, the young Bregendierth scout crept back to the ledge and looked back to the companions, who had moved off. Something struck Braylon as different about the troop then, but he dismissed it as unimportant, until he realized that the Black Panther was no longer beside them. Sent home to the astral plane, he wondered. He had been well schooled in the ways of Drizdo Urden before being sent in pursuit of the strange halfling. He nodded, thinking that must be it, hoping that must be it. Then he realized that Drizdo Urden, riding calmly and easily still, no longer had his bow slung over his shoulder.
"Likely a jackalope or wayward caribou," Caddybri whispered to Drizzt as they plodded along.
Something had attracted Guinevere's attention, and Drizzt had let the panther run off.
"Gwen will let us know," Drizzt assured.
He turned back to the other 3.
"If her warning call sounds, guard the wagon at all costs. We don't want to lose our supplies to a hungry yeti."
"Not a yeti," Wulfgar replied. "A yeti would have to be closer, or even Guinevere would not have noted it."
"You underestimate Gwen."
"You have forgotten tundra yetis then?" Wulfgar asked. "Aye, elf. Ye ain't remembering how many times I pulled ye out from under one of them beasties when ye runned right into them," Brunner added.
"Once," Drizzt admitted to the laughter of his friends. "Only once."
"I'm thinking an elf's only good eatin' once, eh?" asked Brunner.
"Stay with the wagon," Drizzt replied.
Wulfgar and Brunner laughed, and Drizzt turned to Regis for support, to find the halfling apparently distracted and not paying attention.
"Regis?"
The halfling looked at him directly, seeming startled.
"Stay with the wagon,"
Drizzt remarked again.
"Back among that swollen pile of boulders, I think,"
Regis answered, but didn't glance back, not wanting to tip his hand. Drizzt wasn't quite sure what to make of the statement, but before he could inquire further, a low growl echoed across the muddy plain of the melting tundra, and indeed, it seemed to come from the very spot Regis had indicated. Drizzt spun around and tugged Andahar hard to the left, the unicorn leaping off the trail and splashing off in full gallop. Caddybri on her spectral mount paced him stride for stride, the 2 galloping hard and angling for the backside of the small mound of swollen mud and boulders.
"Drive them our way," Brunner called. "Bah, but I'm wanting a good fight, I am."
"I had thought you in a fine mood," Regis argued.
"Em," Brunner argued. "What's your point?"
But Regis wasn't listening any longer.
He noted the angle of Drizzt and Catty Bree's approach and saw a potential problem. He too whirled his mount and drove his heels into Rumble's flank, the pony leaping away.
"Here, where you going, Rumble Belly?" Bruner shouted.
"That's my pony's name," Regis called back, never slowing.
Bruner tried to turn the wagon, but Wolfgar grabbed him by the arm, holding him steady and shaking his head.
"Aye, we'll be running with muddy feet," the dwarf agreed. "Like old times."
Brayle and Jankay didn't notice the mounts breaking from the group. His attention was held back by the black form he'd noticed behind him, the panther stalking up the backside of the hillock around the scattered boulders. The drow scout thought to sprint for the trail, but realized the cat would surely cut him off. He lifted his hand crossbow and started to draw his sword. Just then, Gwenivar came more clearly into view, cutting behind a small tumble halfway up the backside of the hill. Braylon wasn't 30 feet above her anymore, looking down at her. He had underestimated the size of the beast. Braylon shook his head, wanting no part of that fight. Then he noted movement out on the plain, back and to the right, the two steeds charging along. The drow turned and jumped from the cliff. He heard a shout from up the road, but ignored it and concentrated on the situation at hand. He tapped his Brigandiaerth insignia, activating the levitation magic of the brooch, and his drop became afloat, caught on the breeze and drifting out over the road. He landed to find a new enemy close at hand, the halfling on his pony.
"Perfect," he said,
thinking to shoot this one from the saddle and commandeer the mount, and up came the hand crossbow. But the clever halfling fell over to the side of his mount, stealing the shot. Braylon growled and held steady and glanced back up to the cliff, expecting a giant panther to leap down upon him. He should have focused on the road ahead. The well-trained pony kept coming and even veered in a bit, and Braylon had to fall back a step to avoid being run down. He turned with the pony as it thundered by, aiming a shot at its low rider. But the halfling wasn't there. Braylon whirled to face a hand crossbow much like his own. The halfling had the drop on him and fired true. The dart hit him in the chest, and he staggered back under the weight of the blow and felt the burn of poison. But he was drow and well-trained, and Braylon brought his own hand crossbow to bear quickly. Except the halfling wasn't there. Braylon felt the tip of a rapier prodding at his back.
"Yield or die," came the command.
Drizzt studied the hillock as they came around the backside, picking a path to ride up. He kept circumventing